anything, but the price of your prescriptions doesn't have to. At CareArc, they partner with a network of local pharmacies to give their patients discounted prices on medications. Their discount program could save you thousands, even if you already have insurance or if you're uninsured. There's no membership required. Simply get your medications prescribed by a CareArc provider. Visit one of their contract pharmacies and save. Find out how you can save money on your prescriptions at carearc.org/medication.
KVOE News Time 8:22. It is Newsmaker 2 Time here today. We're pleased to have with us Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn here on the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line.
Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Good. What's going on in the office today?
Well, I guess it's just a little bit of everything. That's normally what we do here.
Well, Jennifer's joining us here. We got really, I guess, two major focal points here. We wanted to get off of COVID, but we've seen, at least nationally, several variants which are starting to increase some numbers here across the country. But really, at this time, we wanted to kind of shift off, at least to start here, and talk about, I guess, what's officially called vector-borne illnesses, specifically those that are brought up by mosquitoes and ticks at this particular point in time. And this also comes after the Kansas Department of Health and Environment really put, you know, all area counties in a high risk for West Nile specifically. Jennifer, I guess I wanted to start our conversation by asking you whether you've seen really any, I guess, officially called vector-borne illnesses here for Lyon County that you're investigating now.
So, yes, we do. We have seen some vector-borne illnesses over this kind of this spring, this last quarter, and moving into summer. It is kind of important to talk about those to kind of give Kansans and especially people of residents of Lyon County, give them some awareness about what is actually out there. And our two most common vector-borne illnesses in Lyon County would be West Nile virus, which is a mosquito-borne illness. And then we also have a tick-borne illness, which is Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Those tend to be the number one illnesses that we think about for those vectors. But one thing that I don't think people know is that we tend to have in Lyon County more tick-borne illnesses than we do mosquito-borne illnesses. Usually those tick-borne illnesses outnumber the mosquito-borne illnesses 5-1. So in this spring and moving into summer, that's what we've seen. So since April, we have diagnosed 5 tick-borne illnesses, the majority of those the Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
When you say Rocky Mountain spotted fever, that sounds ominous. You know, when it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so what are the symptoms? What does that disease entail, Jennifer?
Well, Rocky Mountain spotted fever can actually be a pretty serious disease if it is not caught and treated early. So we do want people to know when they get a tick bite, kind of keep that in the back of their mind, and then watch for symptoms after that. Patients can experience fever and chills, aches and pains, like headache and fatigue and muscle aches. Those are pretty common for other illnesses, but we do see those in multiple tick-borne illnesses. The other thing that we can see in some tick-borne illnesses, including Rocky Mountain spotted fever, is a rash. So if you start experiencing those, you know, that generally not feeling well and then develop a rash after a tick bite, it's really important for you to go in and seek treatment at that point.
Now, I have talked to a lot of people, and I have taken some ticks off myself here this spring, and I don't spend a great deal of times outdoors and compared to others that do. So it appears, and I've heard from many saying, boy, the ticks are thick this year. And I've talked to a couple of people as well who say once they take a tick off them, Jennifer, they put it in like a plastic bag and save it. So in case they do get ill, you can go back and look and see exactly what type of tick it is. Is something like that recommended?
Yes, actually it is, and that is a really smart thing to do. That's because we have multiple different types of ticks that are in our area, and each tick can carry different diseases. And a lot of the tick-borne illnesses, they mimic each other in symptoms. So if we can identify what type of tick bit you, then we can narrow down what type of disease that you might have, what your symptoms are being caused by.
What is the right way to pull out a tick?
Yeah, that is a great question, because I think so many of us have been taught the wrong way. So it's really important. What we want to prevent is basically ticks kind of regurgitating back into our body. So we want to do the least amount of damage to them when we're pulling them out. So we don't want to suffocate them with Vaseline or put hot things on them, you know, light something on fire, blow it out, and then try to touch the tick. That can all cause the tick to put more of its body fluid into your body, which can transmit illness at a greater rate. So what we want to do is we want to take really narrow, flat tweezers, and we want to grab the tick as close as we can to the body, and then with firm and kind of equal pressure, pull the tick straight up. Then you want to examine the tick and make sure that you have removed the mouth parts from your body. We don't want to leave those in there. And then what's really important is after you do that, we really want to disinfect that area. So with some alcohol or some disinfectant or just even soap and water, we want to clean that tick bite area really well.
What about West Nile? You know, I think a lot of things come up with West Nile specifically about really the habitat for the mosquitoes. But what are we seeing here with West Nile at this point in time?
Yeah, so it is kind of great that Kansas puts out sort of this monitor of when, you know, we are at more risk for acquiring West Nile virus. So that's always good to look at. And right now we are in that high risk. So we want to be really conscious of not getting mosquito bites, especially if you are an older person or maybe immunocompromised. So making the habitat for mosquitoes less good for them to be breeding is kind of what we want to do. And the main way to do that is to make sure that we don't have standing water. And I think people think that standing water, you know, are big puddles or big buckets. And that's not really true. Mosquitoes can breed in very little standing water, things that we would even kind of overlook. So to kind of look at our lawns and our yards, our gutters, and make sure that we're removing that standing water. Also, if you have places that tend to capture water that you can't easily drain, like ditches or natural drainage areas, there are things called mosquito dunks that you can throw in there that will prevent mosquito larvae from the eggs from hatching and mosquito larvae from developing. So that's always an option. But just the simple stuff of really wearing an EPA-approved insect repellent, that is going to be one of your biggest tools there, and that is for ticks and mosquitoes to help prevent them.
So have you heard mosquito numbers, tick numbers up, you think, here in the area this year, Jennifer?
I do, yes. I do think we are seeing the numbers up. It's one of the reasons why that mosquito, that West Nile factor, that risk factor is high right now, is they are seeing large numbers of mosquitoes. And when we do mosquito trapping through Kansas, and there are certain places through the state that this happens, they will monitor those mosquitoes to see if they are carrying West Nile virus. That factors into that risk profile too. And we are seeing mosquitoes that are carrying West Nile. Fortunately, in Lyon County, we have not diagnosed a case this year.
Well, that is some good news at this point in time. What else, I guess, would be, as far as vector-borne illnesses, would be on the horizon that we'd need to watch? It sounds like we're getting into the peak West Nile time period, you know, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I think it's almost every year or two now we start talking about Zika virus on the mosquito front. What else would be coming, I guess, maybe that we need to at least keep in mind now for the next maybe 2 to 3 months to come?
Right, so definitely those would be the West Nile and the Rocky Mountain spotted fever, but we also have ehrlichiosis and some anaplasmosis that we have diagnosed, which are both tick-borne illnesses. So there are kind of a wide variety of tick-borne illnesses. A lot of those symptoms sort of mimic each other. That's why it's really kind of important to figure out what tick bit you. So I think one of the things I would like to mention is I do think there's some myths on how you get tick bites. We hear a lot here, you know, ticks dropping out of trees, that kind of stuff. That does not happen. Ticks don't jump. They don't fall out of trees on you. Basically, you get ticks by moving through places that they are waiting for you. It's called questing for them. They kind of stay in a spot. They wait for something to walk by. And then when you brush against them, they grab onto you and start walking up your body and then, you know, find a place to find a meal. So it becomes really important that when we're outside that we try to cover ourselves, use that EPA-approved repellent. And then also when we come back inside to do those tick checks, we want to make sure that we are removing ticks as soon as they get embedded or even before. The longer a tick stays and uses you as a blood meal, the more chance it will transmit illness to you.
In talking with Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on our Newsmaker 2 segment this morning. Here it is, 832, 77 degrees on our way to 100. Before we let you go, Jennifer, we need to touch on COVID for just a moment. We'd like to get your take on the numbers that you are seeing. Mid to upper 40s has been standard here, it looks like, the past few weeks. What are you seeing?
Yeah, if we look at our numbers are definitely high. Over the last month, we're averaging about 53 cases a week, and that is a really underreported number just because of how many home tests are out there. On the low end, we should probably be multiplying that number by 3 and maybe the high end even by 10. So definitely we are seeing a lot of COVID illness out there. This spike is mostly being caused by the Omicron variants BA5 and BA4. Before, when we were seeing higher numbers, that was mostly due to the BA2. But we are like the rest of the country, and now the majority of our cases are that more transmittable Omicron variant. Probably BA5 is what we're seeing the most now.
What makes you say that these numbers are as underreported as you're saying right now?
Yeah, we are definitely seeing lower testing numbers that are through labs that must report COVID. If you do an at-home test or even some of the labs that they're called CLIA-waived labs, they don't have to report those numbers to us anymore. We want there to be home tests. We want people to be testing, regardless if it was a lab, you know, a reporting lab for COVID or if it's a home test. But we just have to be cognizant that our numbers are definitely underreported at this point in time.
I know of many that have tested positive at home and have not reported. I did run into somebody yesterday, heard about somebody yesterday that's a friend of my wife's that has got COVID now for the third time.
Third time.
And they are vaccinated.
Yes.
Yeah, just tough to shake it sometimes, isn't it?
It is, and that's what we're seeing with these variants. We are seeing a immune escape. So with this BA5 and BA4, people that have already established some immunity, either with infection from a previous variant or with vaccination, we are seeing them become infected with this variant, this BA5 or BA4. So we are seeing a lot more cases of people that have some sort of immunity. Good news is that for the most part, if you are vaccinated, that is still protecting you from severe disease. So we are not seeing the increase in hospitalizations and deaths due to COVID infections. So just really want to make sure that if you're not vaccinated, the disease is still very, if you don't have immunity, the disease is still very severe. So we want to make sure that you're getting that vaccination.
What is the recommendation now for getting booster number two? Where are we at there, Jennifer?
So if you are over 50, we want you to get that second booster, especially if you are immunocompromised in any way or have any other comorbidities that would put you at risk for having severe COVID. We are to have see boosters on the horizon for other populations. I do think that we're going to see a booster come out for people under 50 again, and then possibly, I don't think it's possibly, it's just when it's going to happen, we're not for sure, is an Omicron specific booster or something that's more tailored to the variants that are circulating. That will really set us up for a good place come fall and winter if we can get that booster out.
All right, sounds good. Jennifer, anything else that we need to bring up here for the community, either with the vector-borne stuff or the COVID-borne stuff?
Well, I think the same message is if you are feeling ill and you know that you're having symptoms of an illness, it's really important to figure out what that illness is and to make sure that we're staying home until we figure out that that illness isn't something that can be transmitted to somebody else.
Great information as always. Good to talk to you again, Jennifer.
Yes, it was nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
You as well.
Yeah, Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on. Well, that's good to have Jennifer back on.
Good to have Jennifer back on, and at least for now, you know, we had to bring up COVID, but maybe to focus on something else, to be flatly honest, because her office is not just dealing with COVID, although that's been the big focus the last couple of years.
Our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CareArc Healthcare Without the Headache, formerly Flint Hills Community Health Center. That's CareArc. 8:38, sunshine, 76 degrees. Now the headlines from ABC.
Another hearing tonight in prime time of the January 6th committee. The panel expected to detail 187 minutes where former President Trump